It's my real pleasure and privilege now to introduce our teacher for this morning, because as you know, one thing we're highly concerned about is the not just reading the Bible, but getting to what God says in His Word, reading it accurately, reading it in a way that's precise and that's going to help people, because unless you have the Word of God, the true Word of God, you can't help people. So we're so concerned in this particular fellowship about not just doing a Bible study, but about getting to what does God say? What does His Word say? And that's not always that easy. Sometimes, you know, because of translations, because of our culture, because we're lazy readers, because of a lot of things, it takes some work to really see what God's Word says. And I am so thankful that even this morning we could have a man with us who has taught me so much about concern, not just for the Scriptures, but for the accuracy of the Scriptures, and taught me so much about how to modify my study habits in a way that I could be a better workman of God's Word. And I'm privileged to have him with us this morning to teach us on this wonderful day. So welcome with me, if you would, Reverend Walter Cummins.
Please be seated. Well, God, our Heavenly Father, bless you in the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's good to be with you once again. And I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to consider some records this morning regarding the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's many things associated with this season of the year that don't have any biblical background. A lot of things somehow get synchronized or intermingled with the biblical record. And the word Easter appears once in the Authorized or King James Version, and that's really a translation of the word that means Passover, the Greek word that means Passover, not Easter at all. The term Easter is a later development. Today was really the day, the first day of the week, when Jesus Christ first appeared to people after his resurrection. And those are the records that we want to look at. Another thing I haven't found as I've worked through the Scriptures is anything about painted chicken eggs that you put out on the lawn and pretend that a rabbit put them there. I just haven't found that in the. Have you in any of your research or study? No, but we're going to look today at what the Scriptures say regarding this particular occasion that began, you know, what today is referred to by perhaps different names, but we know it to be the first day that Jesus Christ appeared to people after his resurrection. Now, in Matthew 27, actually, we'll start in verse 55, just preceding chapter 28 there, to pick up some of the context here. And this is at the end of the time when Jesus had been on the cross, and he died about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour of the day. There was darkness over all the land, and then he said his last words. And then sometime between there and sunset is when he was buried. And we're going to read some of that too, where Joseph of Arimathea buried him. I might also remind you, we're not going to get into it this morning, but it's handled in other sources, just to recall that Jesus Christ was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And so in those previous studies, you understand that he was crucified on Wednesday afternoon, which would have been the day of the preparation, then buried before sunset, which becomes a day on the Judean calendar, which was the Sabbath day or special Sabbath that began the first day of unleavened bread. And that would have been from sunset Wednesday to sunset Thursday. Then from sunset Thursday to sunset Friday would have been another day, the second day that he was buried. And then from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, which was the Judean weekly Sabbath, would have been the third day and third night. And that he was raised late on that third day and was first seen by people on the first day of the week then. Okay? but we're not going to go into that. I'm trusting that at least most of you have had an opportunity to maybe hear this presented in the Walking in God's Power foundational class, or you've read it in a book entitled Jesus Christ, Our Passover, and there have been other books that have been written and sources that have handled this study from the Scriptures. I'm not going to go into that this morning, but it is background for what we want to look at, okay? So anyway, in verse 55 of chapter 27, it says, "And many women were there beholding afar off, and which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children." So there were these three women mentioned here that were observing the things that happened around the time that Jesus Christ expired. They were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and another woman, the mother of Zebedee's children. "When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary." Now, what's the other Mary? Mother of James and Joseph, right? That we just read about up above in the context. "Sitting over against the sepulcher," so they could have seen Joseph of Arimathea burying Jesus' body. Okay? Now the next day that followed the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that this deceiver said while he was yet alive, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "Ye have a watch, you have a guard, a group of soldiers. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. So they set a guard on this next day after Jesus had been buried there. They put a guard at the tomb 24 hours a day. They put a seal on the tomb, which meant that if anybody broke that seal, you know, it would be an indication that somebody had been tampering with the place, okay? So, and they set this watch or guard there. Then chapter 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." Now, the Judean day was from sunset to sunset. And when it says, "in the end of the Sabbath," their Sabbath would have begun sunset on Friday and ended sunset on Saturday, the same as the Judeans practice today. Their Sabbath begins Friday evening with sunset and Saturday evening with sunset. So the end of the Sabbath would have been Saturday at sunset. Then it says, "as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week." Now, the Greek word translated "as it began to dawn" is a word that means as it was coming on or beginning. It's not really dawn, but it's the day was beginning. And their day began when? At sunset, right? So, sometime after the beginning of that day is when Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulcher. It doesn't tell us anything more specific than that. It may have been, we'll have to read other records to find out more specifically when they did come. But at any rate, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, who was this other Mary? The mother of James and Joseph, right? That we read about up above. And they came to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a what? Great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. That must have been some event. And for fear of him, the keepers, the guards, the watch. Remember that the Judeans had set there, the watch they had set there, the keepers there, did shake and became as dead. Well, I can imagine. And the angel answered and said unto the women, whenever they came there, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. So according to this record, there was an angel, one angel, that appeared to these women and told them that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. Therefore, they must have arrived after that resurrection had taken place. Okay? Now let's look at the parallel record in the Gospel of Mark, and we'll start in chapter 15, verse 40. Mark 15, verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James the Less, and of Joseph, and Salome. Well, we read in Matthew about three women also, didn't we? And one was the mother of Zebedee's children. Was her name Salome? Perhaps, unless there was another woman there too. We'll see, or we'll read on. Who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is the day that the Passover was sacrificed, and then it was eaten after sunset, so it was the preparation day. And the next day would have been the day, would have been the Sabbath, the high Sabbath that began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which in that year was from Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset. Okay? So it's the preparation day, that is the day before that special Sabbath. And Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, we read about him in Matthew also, didn't we? Which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate, and craved the body of Jesus. And Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. He wanted to make sure that he was dead. And when he knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen, and took him down, and wrapped him in the linen, and laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid. Same as what we read in Matthew. These two women were standing over against the sepulchre, and they observed where Joseph of Arimathea had laid Jesus' body, and then rolled the stone on the door. Then chapter 16 says, And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Now there's two Sabbaths to deal with in this record. There is the Sabbath that began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which was Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset. There was also the weekly Sabbath, which was Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. If Jesus was buried close to sunset on Wednesday, the stores wouldn't have been open too much longer for them to go and buy spices and things to prepare his body. The Sabbath was about to begin. Therefore, they would have had to wait for that special Sabbath from Wednesday sunset to Thursday sunset to be over. In other words, they would have had to wait till Friday in order to go to the stores and buy the spices and things that they need for the burial. So when it says when the Sabbath was passed, that would have referred to that special Sabbath. They went and bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Then after the weekly Sabbath, they would have had to rest on that day also. They came very early in the morning, the first day of the week. Follow this with the two Sabbaths involved? Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Ah. It was very early in the morning at the rising of the sun that these three women came to the tomb. And they said among themselves, within themselves, who shall roll away us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And how was that stone rolled away? We read about it in Matthew. That angel did it, didn't it? He, she, or it, the angel. And they said among themselves, who shall roll it? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And verse 5, and entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. They saw a young man there. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. According to the record in Matthew that we just read, who told this to the women? An angel, right? A messenger of God. A spirit messenger being. Here it refers to this person that told these, this individual that told these things to the women, refers to that individual as a young man clothed in a long white garment. Angels, spirit beings, often appeared to people in the form of a human being. So I could understand when it refers to a man here, it's referring to the same being that was referred to in Matthew that was a spirit being sent by God. Okay, an angel. Any problem with that? No, but this is one of the first questions I had as a young man of 15 or 16 years of age because of something a preacher had said on a Sunday morning regarding the records in the Gospels. He said, this can't be perfect, God's Word, perfect, because in Matthew it says there was one angel that came, and Mark says there was one man that talked to the woman, the women. And in Luke it says there were, was it two angels? We'll read it in a little bit. And in John it says there were two men. So he pointed out it can't be God's Word, it's just full of contradictions. And that was my first question that I asked an individual who became my mentor later on. But I think he quickly responded to me, different times, different situation, and it was later on that we began to work some of these things together and see that, hey, there's no contradiction. One of the things is real simple here, that angels often appear to people in the form of man. So when it calls it a man here in Mark, that doesn't contradict what we read in Matthew, does it? Both records are referring to a spirit being that appeared to these women in the form of a human being. No problem. Let's look at, we've got one more verse to read here, verse 8. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. But then they did go to, they didn't say anything to anybody along the way, but they did go to the disciples, as they were told to do, because we read that in Matthew. Now go to Luke chapter 23. If it is God's Word, which I believe it is, then it couldn't have any errors or contradictions in it, could it? And So all these things will fit together, but it's not a matter of just looking at words briefly and saying, oh, that doesn't agree. It's a matter of considering what is it referring to and looking at the verse and the context and things that are used before and terms as they are used in the scriptures and understanding some of those things. Luke 23, verse 49. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen, and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man was before laid. Again, in all these three records, Joseph of Arimathea is the one that went to Pilate and asked for the body, and he wrapped the body in a linen cloth and put it in the grave. No special burial wrappings, just a linen cloth that he wrapped around it and put it in the grave. Verse 54, and the day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. That would be the special Sabbath, beginning Wednesday at sunset and going through Thursday at sunset. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointment. When did they do that? They couldn't have done it on the Sabbath. That would have been work. They would have done it on Friday and then rested on the weekly Sabbath according to the commandment. You see the different Sabbaths involved here? There was the high Sabbath, and then the weekly Sabbath, and Friday in between. Now, upon the first day of the week, this would have been after the weekly Sabbath, very early in the morning they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. I might also note, as we're going through this, none of these records have said that they all came to the sepulchre at the same time. It just says they came to the sepulchre, right? Maybe they had planned to meet there with the spices. I'll see you there in the morning, you know. Well, I'm going to set my alarm for... No, I don't know. My rooster crows earlier than yours, so I'll be there a little earlier. But they would have... They could have just come separately, you know. Or they could have all come together from the records that we've considered so far. It just tells us that they came very early in the morning, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And we know how that happened. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, aha, two men, so it's two men here in Luke, stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. Now, here it tells us that two men, and they'll be referred to as angels in the Gospel of John. We'll see that in a little bit. Two angels. Two spirit beings sent by God, messengers from God, were sent to tell these women. Matthew and Mark only told us about one of them. Does that mean there weren't two there? No. It just only told us about the one. Whereas Luke tells us about both of them that were there. Two angels that had told this to the women. Matter of fact, we're going to read a little more about it in the Gospel of John in just a minute here. But there were two men, two messengers that stood by them in shining garments. and that told them that Jesus Christ had risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's no longer dead. He's alive. Because God had resurrected him from the dead. There's one more verse here, verse 12 we ought to read. Then arose Peter after he heard... Oh, verse 11. Their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. They didn't believe the women and what they reported to him. Then arose Peter and ran under the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And that's about as far as most people get, just wondering. Peter was wondering at that point, wonder what this means. And he found out pretty soon that same day. All right, let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. Now we read about that in the other gospel records too, didn't we? And what did Joseph of Arimathea do? He wrapped it in a linen cloth and put it in the grave, and the women saw him do that. At least Mary Magdalene and the other Mary saw him. Then verse 39 adds, and there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they, not Nicodemus and Joseph, but Nicodemus and his servants that he may have had with him, they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. What did the women see, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary? They saw Joseph of Arimathea, wrap him in a linen cloth, put him in the grave. They never saw Nicodemus wrap him in this other kind of linen cloth with the spices, the burial spices that he had prepared. If they had, they wouldn't have gone home and bought a bunch of spices after the first Sabbath was passed, and then after the weekly Sabbath had passed, come to anoint his body for burial, would they? With the spices. Because they had not seen what Nicodemus had done. Because Nicodemus came after Joseph of Arimathea had just laid him there in the tomb. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because otherwise, why would they, if they had seen Nicodemus do this, why would they go buy spices to come and re-anoint him? Maybe they think he didn't do a good enough job? I don't think so. No. Because they only saw what Joseph of Arimathea had done. In chapter 20, then, it says, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark. One of the other records told us the women came to the tomb when the sun was coming up, I think. How did it word it? At the rising of the sun, yes. Mary Magdalene, one of them, came by herself, apparently, while it was yet dark. Remember I said before, it didn't tell us in those records whether they came together or they said, well, let's meet there. And Mary Magdalene's alarm clock went off earlier, apparently. She came when it was yet dark under the sepulchre. And seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and him that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't really know it. Jesus had told them he was going to rise from the dead, but it didn't quite register with them. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth what? Two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. So when Mary Magdalene came there, these two angels were sitting in the tomb, the one at the head, the one at the feet, where the body used to be. Now, does that tell us that that's where they were when the other women came? No. I don't know where they were. Except I think one said they, when they went into the tomb, the one angel spoke to them. So exactly what happened this day, we only have bits and pieces, but it tells us enough that we know that the angels announced to these women that Jesus Christ was risen, that he was, why do you seek the living from the dead? He's no longer dead, he's alive. God raised him from the dead, he's alive, and he's risen. So, John and Luke talk about two angels that were there that announced these things to women, perhaps at different times. The Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Mark only talk about one of those angels that were there. But that doesn't mean that there weren't two there. And there's still no contradiction, is there, in God's Word. In verse, where were we? She saw the two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then verse 13, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said that, had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her. Now, I guess there's a question, did this, where she turned back and saw Jesus standing, occur after the other women had come and gone to report, or and after all of them had reported, did she come back, or did this occur even before the other women ever arrived? Well, I don't know. I just know this happened according to the record, okay? And if you want to know more specific details, wait till the movie comes out. The trumpet sounding. That'll tell us for sure, huh? But at any rate, we know at some point Mary Magdalene was there in the garden and Jesus was standing there, but she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Well, I guess this must be before the angels had told her he is risen then, huh? More than likely, okay. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and had spoken these things unto her. So in addition to reporting what the angels had said, which also the other women reported that we read in the other gospel records, Mary Magdalene also reported to the disciples that she saw him. So a lot of wonderful things happened on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, after Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And are there contradictions in God's Word? No, absolutely not. It's just a matter of reading, some of the details. Maybe we don't know exactly the precise chronology of the events. And maybe as we study it more, we'll learn more. But we do know generally what happened. There were two angels involved, even though two of the Gospels only mention one of them. We know that the women came to the tomb, perhaps at different times. We know Mary Magdalene came even while it was yet dark. And we know that Peter and some other disciple went and checked things out. We also know that Peter went on one occasion just to look around and went away wondering. But we also know from further records that we're not going to read this morning that Jesus Christ appeared to Peter and the other apostles and disciples on that day at even. And they got to touch him. They got to see him eat fish, was it? Bread. Yeah, he ate, yeah. And which is, I think, always a great hope, looking forward to the new body. But let's look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. They talked about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ afterwards, didn't they? And with great power they gave witness of that resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they were filled with the gift of Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they had all the enablements, all the manifestations of that Spirit. That was a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because without that resurrection, that new birth gift of Holy Spirit wouldn't have been available. But with great power, they gave witness of that resurrection. In Acts chapter 17, and in verse 32, when the Apostle Paul was in Athens, and he talked to them about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in verse 32, and when they, the people there at Athens, heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto them and believed, when he talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Among those that believed were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. And that's basically the reaction to teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ today. Some believe it, and some mock it, and some say, well, we're going to have to listen to this again a little later on. But Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 really tell us why they did have to teach about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, starting with, you know, Acts 2 and following, when they were filled with Holy Spirit. In Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath what? Raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." With the heart man believes unto righteousness. But believing what, according to verse 9? Believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So if this salvation that it speaks about here, which refers to that new birth salvation, the gift of Holy Spirit with all the enablements and everything that went with it, including that it was a token of that which is to come, our hope, then teaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ would have been very important. And it still is, if people are going to get saved, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and operate the manifestations of that Spirit. They're going to have to confess the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God did raise him from the dead. So if I or anyone else who is born again, fails to teach the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if all I talk about is his sufferings, his death, and never get to the resurrection, who that hears me could be saved? No one. Because this salvation is dependent upon what? Hearing about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and then believing it. Believing that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay? And really, that is, if there's a crux, a cornerstone, or a, well, I don't know what the word is I'm looking for, something that makes Christianity different from anything else, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That he was raised from the dead. It's not only what people must believe in order to be saved, but it also is a hope. Knowing that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we look forward to those that have fallen asleep being raised from the dead in the future. It's something that's unique to Christianity. There might be a lot of wonderful things that other religions have taught, other people have taught through the millennia, but there's only one that's ever gotten up from the dead who's ascended into heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's believing that God raised him from the dead and confessing him as Lord is how a person then is born again, filled with the gift of Holy Spirit and filled with all the enablements that became available with it. And then that, isn't that a wonderful thing to know? So I thought this day of the year that we recognize the first appearances of Jesus Christ following his resurrection, we would look again at these records regarding his resurrection and what a wonderful testimony it is in God's Word of what God did for us through the accomplishments of his Son, Jesus Christ, and especially by raising him from the dead after he had accomplished all. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful Word. Thank you for our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, but whom you raised from the dead, that we can have the life today that we have and enjoy all the benefits of it and look forward to an even richer life in the future when Jesus Christ returns to gather us together. And we thank you for all these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.
I just got to say, I didn't think I could be any more thankful for this man's life and ministry than I already was, but I am. Thank you so much for coming.